seated. Let's pray. Father God, you are a holy God, and we are here to give you the worship and the praise that you deserve. You sent us your Son to save us from our sin, and we pray that now you would be pleased as we remember him. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. This morning, for our time around the Lord's table, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. In this passage, Paul is addressing the issue of a Christian's transfer, or his rescue, from being under the law to being united with Christ. And he uses principles from marriage to illustrate his point. In verse 1, we see the general statement that a person is under the jurisdiction of the law as long as that person is alive. As it relates to marriage, a woman is bound to her husband as long as her husband remains alive. And then in verse 2, we read that if the husband dies, his wife is released from the law that bound her to her husband. And then Paul begins to talk about a specific law in verse 4. The law that Paul is referring to here is a set of commands that God has given to mankind that man is responsible to obey. The law itself is good because God designed the law to reflect his holy character, to show us how holy he is. But for man, being under the jurisdiction of that law is only bad news. We see that in chapter 3. In verse 20 of chapter 3, we read that the law brings a knowledge of sin. We become aware of our sin through the law. Earlier in that same chapter, in verse 9, we read that every person is guilty before God. They're guilty because of their sin. Perhaps the worst news of all in chapter 3 is found in verse 19 when we read that man cannot justify himself before a holy God by keeping the terms of that law. In fact, later in the letter in chapter 8, Paul tells us that the law itself has no power. The law is powerless to save a man from his sin. So in his natural born condition, man is bound to a law that exposes his sin. That same law declares him guilty because of his sin, but it's powerless to save him from his sin. That is bad news. The good news is found back in chapter 7 in verse 4. Follow along with me as I read it. After giving the analogy from marriage, Paul writes, "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." This is the good news. It's the good news. The Christian has been rescued. He's been rescued from a system of law that only held judgment and condemnation for him. But what we need to look at this morning is the means by which the Christian is rescued and the means by which this transfer takes place. We see in the middle of verse 4 that Christians are released from the law only through the body of Jesus Christ. That is to say that Jesus' death releases the guilty man from the consequence of his sin and permanently joins that man to Jesus Christ. So what we need to ask ourselves this morning as we remember the Lord's table is, who did Jesus die for? From what we've read, we see that Jesus died only for those who no longer attempt to justify themselves on the basis of good works that they have done under the law. Jesus died only for those who would believe that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is the only thing that can save them from their sin. So if you're here today and you believe these things about Jesus, you believe that his death on the cross bore away your sin and the consequence of your sin, please join us together as we celebrate the Lord's table. As the elements come to you, take them and hold them and ponder God's goodness and his kindness to you, that he would rescue you from the law which held condemnation for you. If you're here today and you believe that God will save you because of something good that you have done, or something good within you that you are, You need to understand that God still considers you guilty for your sin. God's design for salvation is to save those who've placed their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So as the elements come to you, simply pass them by. But I invite you to please, after the service, speak with me or any other of the elders or the person next to you. We'd be glad to hear from you and to share with you God's design for salvation. So men, come forward and serve us. After everybody has received, we'll take together.